أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من شر الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الميامين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our talk was those people who saw the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif and met the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. We mentioned that in the major occultation there were ulamas, there were great personalities, they met the 12th Imam. Many people they create doubts, this cannot be, nobody can see the 12th Imam. This is wrong. Why? Because there are many who saw. Let's say if 2-3 people they saw the Imam and they met with the Imam, yeah, there is a possibility that it might be someone else, the situation might be different, maybe it's an illusion or hallucination. Let's say 10, the possibility becomes stronger, the possibility of those who met. Let's say 50 people who saw the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, the possibility becomes more stronger. Let's say hundreds of people they saw the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, then this becomes tawatur. It becomes like a certainty. It cannot be wrong. One, okay, possibility of error is there. Two, possibility of error is there. But these hundreds of people, I have 2-3 volumes, books, different scholars they have written just about those who met the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Just those who met him. So these are great scholars. They acknowledge the authenticity of these incidences, or many of these incidences. Some incidences are weak, but many of those incidences are strong. In this short time, we are just going to focus on some of the events which are related to great scholars. Scholars, not even regular people. Regular pious people, okay, they don't lie, they are trusted. But we're going to take some of the incidences where the experience with 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif happened with these great scholars. These are not regular scholars. These are great scholars. We are going to talk about them. So many people, they met with the Imam. Many people, they communicated with Imam. There are people, they saw him in dream. And miracles happen, the dreams, the Imam tells them something or does something, and in reality, things happen. Like one of the examples of dream. Allama Mir Zannaini, this great scholar, this is one of the giants of Najaf al-Ashraf. Giant means like the very top scholar. He was not marja, he did not present himself as a marja. But he was great scholar on the caliber of marja. Marja means he presents himself for taqlid, but there are Allama Tabatabai, like Sahib Tafsir al-Mizan. He was great scholar, he was mujtahid, there is no doubt in his depth, but he did not present himself for the marja'iyya and taqlid, because he wanted to specialize in tafsir and philosophy. So, this Allama al-Na'ini, he was master in ilm al-usul. He was the teacher of Sayyid Abul Qasim al-Khuy. Sayyid Abul Qasim al-Khuy, rahmatullahi, got all his depth in ilm al-usul, the principles of Islamic jurisprudence because of this Mirza al-Na'ini, rahmatullah alayh. Mirza al-Na'ini, when he was 10 years old, he was a child. He became sick. The doctors could not cure him. It was difficult. He got incurable disease. The doctor gave up everything. They were ready to announce that soon he will die, and they were preparing all those preparation for mourning, and they were there. So Mirza Naini, he sees in the dream the infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam, one after another. They greet him with salam. Finally, the 12th imam comes in the dream, and he gives him Mirza Naini asks the 12th imam, "Oh my master, I'm going to die so soon." Mirza Naini, I'm sorry, this is not Mirza Naini. I got the names misplaced. The story is correct, but it's not Mirza Naini. It's Al-Hurr Al-Amili. Al-Hurr Al-Amili, this great scholar, he's also a giant. Great scholar who is the author of Wasa'il al-Shia. This book, Wasa'il al-Shia, is the resource of hadith. Allam Al-Hurr Al-Amili, he collected all the books of hadith we mentioned before. Kutub al-Arba'a, four main resources, not Kutub Sahih, but resources, compiled books of hadith. Al-Kafi, Al-Istibsar, Al-Tahdhib, Manna'at al-Faqih. He compiled all these books in 30 volumes. Nowadays, it's in 30 volumes. And he did not just limit himself to these books, he added more books also of hadith. So this is a huge encyclopedia of hadith. It's most authentic, not 100%, no, most. That means there are some ahadith which are subjected to the authentication. All of our maraja, they rely on the ahadith of Al-Hurr Al-Amili. Instead of going to Al-Kafi, going to Al-Tahdhib, they consider this book contains all those Kutub Al-Arba'ah and other books. If you look into the researches of Sayyid Abul Qasim Al-Khuwi, at the end he will write, as it is mentioned in Wasail. You will look into all the other maraja, they will write as it is in Wasail. So this Wasail Shia is a very important tool. Sahib al-Wasail al-Hurr al-Amili, he's the one. He was sick, incurable disease. He sees in his dream, the same dream I mentioned, it is for Hurr al-Amili. Mirza Naini has another incident. So al-Hurr al-Amili sees in the dream the 12th imam. The 12th imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, gives him a cup of water. He tells him that you are not going to die so soon. He was 10 years old. You are going to live longer life. And he gives him a cup of water. After he drinks, he wakes up. He was cured completely from his disease. Completely. They were surprised what happened. He mentioned this dream. Hurr al-Amili, he narrates this dream by himself. And he is a very well trusted scholar by the testimony of all the fuqaha. From his time to now, nobody considers him liar. So this is 12th Imam alayhi salatu coming in dream, curing incurable disease of Hurr al-Amili, the author of Wasail al-Shia. Mirza al-Naini has a similar incident where he was also sick, but in Mirza al-Naini's case, his brother had seen the Imam in dream, and he cured Mirza al-Naini in the dream. After that he woke up, he wakes up Mirza al-Naini, Mirza al-Naini was cured from his disease. So that's why I got messed up, because these two stories or incidences are similar. So the 12th Imam comes in the dream also, and comes in reality, and cures incurable disease, helps people out. There are so many incidences. So we are going to mention few of those who are narrated by strong, trusted, most pious scholars who could not lie. So let's see. We are going to talk about, yesterday we were talking about Sheikh Al-Mufid and his advice. We are going to leave this advice for inshallah tomorrow, because tomorrow we are going to start looking at the responsibility. What are our responsibilities in this time? What should we do, you know, while waiting the imam? But today, let's take some incidences. Allama Bahr al-Ulum, Rahmatullah alayh. This Bahr al-Ulum family is very well known. Very well. The descendants of Bahr al-Ulum are scholars. You will see in Najaf, so many. The whole family is called Ailat Bahr al-Ulum. Al-Bahr al-Ulum. This one. So Bahr al-Ulum, he was a regular scholar. He was not, Bahr al-Ulum means ocean or sea of knowledge. He was not considered, he did not have this title. What happened? He used to have this amnesia type that he, whenever he memorizes, he forgets. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did the tawassul of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he seek the help from the Imam, help me. I'm memorizing, I'm trying to study, but I keep forgetting. So, Allama Bahr al-Ulum used to say that nobody can see the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam in the occultation. Nobody. Because we said that there is a hadith which says, but that hadith says that whoever sees me, and the interpretation is, and claims the representation, that person is liar. من ادعى المشاهدة means مشاهده, means he says that I saw Imam and he gave me the representation. That person is the liar, not any other person. If you get blessing, you get blessed with meeting the Imam, either in your dream, either in your reality, that is the Imam. Because we have plenty of ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa narrate, من رآنا كان كمن رآنا حقا. Whoever sees us, as he has seen us in truth, in reality. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِنَا. Shaitan does not take our form. Shaitan, if someone comes into your dream and tells you that he's your imam, he is your imam. He's not shaitan. Shaitan cannot take the body of imam, or shaitan cannot even pretend that he's imam or he's the prophet. So our imam alayhi salam comes in the dream. So Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say, it is not possible to see the Imam. It is because the hadith says like that. After that, he started to interpret the hadith. Before, no. He used to take it literally. من ادعى المشاهدة, whoever claims that he has seen, he is a liar. But then, he started. So, he started to say that I have seen the Imam, you know. And students, they say, Mawlana, you are the one who says that nobody can see the Imam. What happened? He says, how cannot I say now that you can see Imam? And I have been hugged by the Imam. وَقَدْ ضَمَّنِي إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. There's a story mentioned in the books of ulama, books of Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum, that when he was complaining about his memory, one day he met the Imam, and Imam hugged him so hard that since that day, he never ever forgets anything. And that's after that, his title became Bahr al-Ulum, ocean of knowledge. Because whatever he reads, stays inside his mind. That's the time he became more knowledgeable, until he became one of the top personalities, one of the top ayatullahs, or the top ayatullah marja of his time, Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum, rahmatullah alayh. So Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum has several incidences, not one, several times. There's an incident, the 12th Imam came to him and gave him salam in the salat. There's an incident about the aza, latmiyat. The people, they used to humiliate certain types of latmiyat and sina zani and all these kind of things. These people, these Shias, are crazy doing this. So one day, Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum, rahmatullah alayh, he was walking in the streets of Karbala, and suddenly he joined this group. He took his amama out, he took his abba, gave it to a student, and with them, people, they're surprised. The students, the house of students, what's going on with Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum? He came back, said, Sayyidina, I mean, you are alim like that. You go with these people, with ignorant people, doing these kind of movements of Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. He said, how could I not do that? And my imam was doing it. My imam was amongst them, grieving on my grandfather Hussein, because he's Sayyid. So he said, how could I not do like that? Who? I'm better than my imam? No way. My imam did that. I am doing that. So these grieving sessions which comes out sincerely from your heart for the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, these are not, do not belittle it. The imam participates in these kind of gatherings. So Sayyid Bahr al-Ulum rahmatullah is one of those who saw the imam several times. And he's Ayatullah al-Uzma, marji' of his time. We said, regular people, huh? But these are not regular people. These are top people. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, they used to do taqleed to Ayatullah Bahr al-Ulum, rahmatullah alayh. This is one. Another incidence, Al-Allam al-Halli. Al-Allam al-Halli, wa ma adraka ma al-Allam al-Halli. The Allam al-Halli, This is a nabig. This is a unique personality in the history. He became mujtahid when he was about 10 years old. Imagine Ayatullah al-Uzma, who doesn't have beard and mustache and everything. You know, this small cute face. Don't be surprised. Nowadays we have this boy who memorized the whole Quran. You know, he could be Ayatullah al-Uzma anytime. So, Allama al-Halli, and they used to call him Ayatullah. People, they heard about Allama al-Halli's knowledge. They came to Iraq. They came to learn about the Ask some Masail. They came to Hilla. Hilla is a city in Iraq. They asked, where's the house of Allama al-Halli? They said that. There were some kids, you know, they were like playing and hanging around out, as they say, chilling out. So anyhow, they asked, where's the house of Allama al-Halli? One of the kids, they said, this is the house of Allama al-Halli. They go, they take them to the house, he goes inside, and wears his amama and everything, and comes out and sits in front of them, Bismillah, how can I help you? Who are you? I said, I'm Ibn al-Mutahhar al-Halli. You? Yes, Bismillah. And they questioned him, and he answered all those difficult questions. This is Allama al-Halli, the one who was. When he was, his uncle was, his maternal uncle Khal, was Al-Muhaqqiq Al-Halli. This one of the giants of Hawza. He's the author of Sharai Al-Islam. Sharai Al-Islam is four volumes. We call it Bible of Fiqh, Encyclopedia of Fiqh. We studied until now in the Hawza. This was written 700 years before. We study it now also in the Hawza. You just ask, what is the Sharai Al-Islam? You must study this encyclopedia of fiqh. So, this was the uncle of Allama al-Halli. Uncle of Allama al-Halli was the marja of his time. When uncle died, Allama al-Halli was 27 years old. 27 years old, marja Ayatullah al-Uzma became the leader of the Shia. 27 years old. Imagine, this is Allama al-Halli. Pious, smart, intelligent. If you want to see how smart he was, he used to discuss with his school of companions. There were so many prejudiced people. He will discuss with them and knock them down immediately without any delay. One day, in this time, the Mughals, they invaded Iraq. So the king of Mughal at that time who was ruling Iraq, he became Muslim. And he had a problem. Some say it was a divorce problem. He gave his wife three divorces. Ifti, Taliq, Taliq, Taliq. Three divorces and that's it. So, and now he wants her back. So no, all the mashayikh, all the from Anhambali, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanafi, all these four madahib of school of companion, they said no, she has to get married with someone else. And it has to be a real marriage, not just fake. No, everything from A to Z has to happen. And then, if that person divorces her, then she can become yours again. How can it happen? Queen goes under somebody else? It cannot happen. No, that's it. You gave her divorce. Taliq, taliq, taliq. Your divorce, divorce, divorce. That's it. He became disturbed. Wazir, the governor or the minister who was beside him, he was follower of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not announce himself. He said, you know something? That these people, they are followers of Ahlul Bayt. They have solution for everything. It's a solution for everything. Even in this case, yeah, why don't you call one of the scholars? So who is the scholar? The scholar Ayatullah of that time is someone who's called Ibn al-Mutahhar al-Allama al-Halli. Get me him. I want to talk to him. He comes, and the day he comes, the king invited all his the scholars of four madahib. Because he wants to see. He doesn't want somebody else to come and cheat him, especially the bad connotation and bad image which was presented about school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he comes, they are all sitting, and the court of the king is filled with people, and here comes Al-Allama Al-Halli. Al-Allama Al-Halli took his slippers and puts it under his armpit. And says, Salaamu Alaikum, and looks left, right, and goes sits beside the king. These scholars, they got like, they started to boil inside themselves. What is he? Sits beside the king, you know? One Rafidi, one Shi'i. Yeah. So they said, you are a disrespectful person. You don't have adab. You were not taught proper manner. He said, what's the problem? He said, number one, you entered and you did not give special salam to the king. Number one. Number two, you are carrying your slippers in your armpit. And number three, you go and sit beside the king? What is this nonsense? You know? So he said, first of all, when I entered, I said, Assalamu alaikum. Kum is plural pronoun. That means king is one of the kums. King is one of the, Salamu alaikum, peace be upon you all. So he's from one of those. I said salam to the king. Don't you ever say like that. And number two, I looked left and right. You guys didn't make space for me. I mean, everybody was stretching his leg and you don't want to sit beside you. I found a spot, empty spot beside the king. I went and sit beside him. So what? You make space for me, I'll come and sit beside you. You don't want me beside you. Number three, the slippers. In the time of the Prophet, what happened? Somebody stole Imam Shafi'i's slippers. The Shafi'i guy says, you are a liar. Imam Shafi'i was not in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, I'm sorry, it was Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. The Hanbali scholar said, you are a liar. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was not in the time of the Prophet. Oh, it may be Imam Abu Hanifa, all of them. You know something? It must be Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. That's true, because he was in the time of Prophet, you know. So he proved the point that all these, they came after the time of the Prophet. These four madhab, they came after. The only madhab which was there was madhab of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which was the way of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. So, now Allama al-Hilli proved the point. Now the king asked me, now solve my problem, you know. You guys are like discussing and arguing and I'm in a different system. So he said, what's the problem? He said, I divorced my wife 3 divorces. He said, that's not considered 3, it's considered 1 divorce. Based on these evidences, this proof, the king said, is this correct? Is these ayat are in the Quran? They said, yes. So why? But the Sahabas, they did not know. I don't care about Sahabas. Is this mentioned in the Quran? Yes, it is. Is this the hadith of the Prophet? Yes, it is. This considered 1 talaq? It's supposed to be. No, that's it. So I'm going to, today, he converted to school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu. From now, I'm follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu. And all the people, the community, Allama al-Hilli requested the king, give me an opportunity to go and preach in between people. People, they started to convert to the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu. So this is the smart Allama al-Hilli. The pious, the smart. Allama al-Hilli, one day, his teacher had a book. His teacher was School of Companion. Because our ulama, they used to learn from everywhere. You know, they didn't have prejudice. No, just learn from Shi'i. Because Imam Ali alayhi salatu said, Al-Hikma dhalat al-mu'min. Wisdom is something lost from a believer. He gets it wherever he finds it. So he used to learn. Our ulama, they used to learn from everywhere. And they used to compare and then stick to the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, because they did their research and now they are confident about their path and their way. They did not say, oh, because my father was a follower of Ahlul Bayt. No, they used to compare. So Allama al-Hilli used to study between all these different scholars. So one of his scholars was extreme. He used to bash the school of Ahlul Bayt, bash the Shias. So what happened? Allama al-Hilli found out that he has a book. He uses this book and it was so thick book. And he will never give to anybody. He will give him one night and give it back. He didn't want people to write it and copy it down. So what happened, Allama al-Hilli, he said, give me. I'll just, for one night at least. He gave him. He said, I don't give it, but you're my student. I'll give it to you for one night only. He gave the book. Allama al-Hilli started to write. It was so thick book. He got tired. Allama al-Hilli got tired. And he slept, you know, like those desks, the small desks they have on the desk, he slept. And in some of the narrations, it's mentioned that he saw a guy, he said, give me the book, I'll take care of it. You know, nawilni al-kitab. So anyhow, he was sleeping, it's a dream, reality, somebody said, give me the book. And I slept. In the morning, I saw the whole book, which regularly would have taken more than 6 months to 1 year. It was written completely in that night. And the seal of the 12th Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was there. So this is how the Imam helped Allama al-Hilli. Another incident. Allama al-Hilli had this question. He said that, how could, there are ahadith about Imam Hussein's intercession. How could this Imam Hussein's intercession, Jannah, paradise, what is this? What kind of sale is this? Thanksgiving sale, Christmas sale. What kind of sale? No, this is sale of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no sale in the world like the sale of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Clearance of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam clears the sins away from you. So Allama al-Hilli, being an intellectual personality, he wants to see how this fits in. That whoever weeps on Imam Hussein, whoever visits Imam Hussein, his sins are forgiven, this happens, paradise, this, all these kind of things, how can that happen? You know, I need the answer. How it fits together. And then another question was, again, can a person see the Imam? Because he had been helped by the Imam, but he had not seen the Imam until that time. So he had these two, three questions in his mind. He was going to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. On the way, those days they used to ride these donkeys, you know. The donkeys were like nice Toyota Corolla and Toyota Camry type cars, you know, like nice humble cars. So they used to ride. So Allama al-Hilli is thinking of this masail. A person beside him, some say he was riding a horse, some say donkey. Anyhow, he was also riding and he started to walk beside him, accompany him. You know, sometimes you're walking alone, somebody comes, starts to walk beside you. And those days, they used to have this welcoming nature. Bismillah, bismillah, yes, yes, you can walk with me, tfadal, bismillah. So, what happened, this stranger says, asks Allama al-Hilli, what are you thinking about? Yani, what are the things in your, something is bothering you. He said, I don't know, I mean, somebody weeps on Imam Hussein, cries on Imam Hussein, mentions the tragedy of Imam Hussein, all these kind of things, and Imam Hussein's intercession comes in. How can that happen, you know? So, and the other thing, can somebody see the Imam in this time? And he mentioned other two, three masail also. So this horseman tells him a story. He says, let me tell you a story. He tells a story that there was a poor guy, he did not have anything except a goat or a cow, so some animal. He used to live on that. One day a king from his region was coming by. He lost everything. I mean, he lost his army, everything. And he lost the way. He ended up into the house of this poor boy. So now the boy and the mother, they are arguing. What should we do? The boy said, Mom, this is the only thing we have, you know. So the mother says, my son, this is our guest. We cannot let our guest go empty-handed. This was the nature. So she said, let's sacrifice this animal we have and cook the meat and give it to this guest. And the king overheard them. So before he leaves, he gives them some jewels, tells them to use these, and I apologize if anything, and if you need anything, let me know. The days pass, the king returns back to his kingdom and everything. One day, they were out of their resources, the mother and the child. So the child comes to the kingdom and asks for this king. Anyhow, the story is long. The king and the child, they meet. He said, okay, tomorrow come to me. I'll pay you what you deserve. He brings all his kingdom and a general announcement. He tells them, this is the horseman telling the story. And there's a wisdom behind it. You know, because Allama al-Hilli, he wants to understand this concept of shafa'at of Imam Hussein. You know, so the king says, asks his ministers, he tells them the story. How could I give him what he deserves? One of them, they said, give him some jewels. You know, that's it. He's a poor guy. Jewels, mashallah, that's too much for him. Some said, you know, give him like he gave you a goat or a cow. Give him 10 cows, 100 cows. Give him this, give him that. The king says, Ma ansaftumu. You are not fair. You did not judge him properly. This is not justice. This is unfair. He says, I'm going to make a just decree. When I came to him, he gave whatever he owned. Give everything. So when he comes to me, I will give him everything. So the horseman says, does it make any sense? He says, yes, that makes sense. So Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam gave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His life, his beloved precious children, his companion, even his family, he subjected them because of his martyrdom to this kind of situation. All for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's generous? Allah or Hussein? Who's more generous? He said, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts all His intercession in the hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and on the day of judgment, Imam Hussein intercedes for those who want him, what he wants, what's the problem there? Allama said, you had a good point. That's a nice point. And while they were talking, the whip where they hit the donkey, it fell down from the hand of Allama al-Halli. The horseman bows down to get the whip, and Allama bows down to get the whip. And while they are coming up, what about the next question? Can somebody see the Imam? This horseman tells him, what if I tell you that the whip which you are holding, your Imam is holding also? Allama could not handle. He fainted. He dropped down. Imam, my hand and hand of Imam, he could not handle that. This is a very famous incident. Ulama, they mentioned that Allama al-Halli saw the Imam. These masail, they were given, they were taught to Allama al-Halli by the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Now, maybe people, they may lie this, but Allama al-Halli, never ever. This guy, he was pure. He was called Ibn al-Mutahhir. He was so unique in his abilities. He's called Allama al-Halli. His books are until now taught in the Hawza. If he was, na'udhu billah, a liar, why would our all maraja from the dynasties after dynasty, they teach these books in the Hawza al-Ilmiyyah? This is Allama al-Halli. One more incident, and inshallah will be done today. Another incident is of Muqaddas al-Ardabili. Now, Muqaddas al-Ardabili story is big story. Muqaddas al-Ardabili is known to be very pure and pious. See, Muqaddas. His name is not Muqaddas, but they title him Muqaddas, the Holy Ardabili. Because he was so pure. Muqaddas al-Ardabili used to say that people, they used to come and they say, Mawlana, our du'as are not mustajab. We keep do du'a, ya Allah, du'as are not mustajab. He said, you know why? Because in our days, we used to have only wajib and mustahab. Wajib and obligation and recommendation. And all those recommendations, we used to consider them obligation. So we have either obligation or haram. Nowadays, you are saying wajib, mustahab. Oh, mustahab, Allah will not punish me. That's fine, leave it. Nafila, salatul layl, mustahab. I'm not going to be punished. Why should I spend time and waste time in salatul layl or something like that? You guys left this mustahabbat. Wajib do, haram avoid. We used to avoid makruh also, abhor. Nowadays you tell the shabab, this is makruh, abhor. They'll say, oh shaykhna, kullu makruhin ja'iz, hatta nikahul ajaiz. They say, a youth, small youth, like 15 years old, 18 years old, gets married to a 60 year old woman, that's ajuz, it's not haram. It's makruh, it's khityar, it's sit like it. She's like her great grandmother, you know. So, it's not haram, it's makruh. But it's ja'iz. So this is kullu makruhin ja'iz. Every makruh is ja'iz. Hatta nikahul ajaiz. Even getting married with the ajaiz. So nowadays, oh Sheikh, it's makruh. Ja'iz. Allah will punish me. No. That's me. Let me do it, you know. So this is the mentality. Muqaddas al-Ardabili. He says, 40 years. I did not commit makruh. I did not commit haram. He says, I did not commit mubah. What is mubah? Mubah is the neutral zone. We have wajib, you have to do. Mustahab, recommended. Haram, no. Makruh, better not to do. But there's a neutral zone. You can do it. He says, they ask him, why? It's mubah. They say, if I do something which is mubah, which is permitted, there's no pleasure of Allah in it, I'll be wasting my time. These precious minutes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me in my life. If I'm going to live 20 years, 40 years, 60, 70, all these minutes are counted. Why should I let these minutes go empty without pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And nowadays, we sit in argilas, we spend nights, waste a lot of time. And this person, this Muqaddas al-Ardabili, he doesn't want to waste a second in something which does not have pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine this Muqaddas al-Ardabili. Waqa'an is Muqaddas. He was never, students say, he was never seen his legs stretched in any gathering. They ask him, always his legs were folded. They ask him, he said, how can I stretch my leg in the presence of my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? because Allah is watching me. I am ashamed of stretching my leg. And nowadays you're sitting majalis, mashayikh, and everybody has leg on leg, you know, there's nothing. So this is Muqaddas al-Ardabili. Muqaddas al-Ardabili, he used to live in Karbala. Any drop of najasat, anything, he will not. Even his restroom used to be out of Karbala. He used to take his waste out of Karbala. Why? Karbala is sacred land. How can I defile it? Subhanallah. This is Muqaddas al-Ardabili. If you read his history, this Allama was so dissolved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wa salam. Muqaddas al-Ardabili, one day he was busy in his activities. His wife started to complain. You all day and night, masjid, this, there's no food, this, and where will we eat, you know? This guy, what will he do, you know? They say, if you have this kind of wife, be patient, you will have Jannah. You know, if somebody has nagging wife, that's Jannah, that's paradise, if you hold patience. Because if you respond and start insulting her, you lose the paradise. Because Allah has given you power. So diffuse yourself, be humble. Because Allah has more power than you, and you are a nagging human too, in many cases. So if Allah tolerates you on you, you tolerate on your wife also. Learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have sabr. So he goes where? Just i'tikaf. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him. In the meantime, a person comes, knock, knock, knock. Who's that? This Muqaddas al-Ardabili has sent you this food. You know? It was nice food, delicious, everything. After they ate, after he comes from i'tikaf, he, thank you my husband, my beloved one, the food came. He said, I didn't send any food. No, there was a guy, he was a youth-like person. He said, you have sent food? So that was the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Muqaddas al-Ardabili dissolves his life, his love to the Imam. How cannot Imam be for him? If you devote yourself for your Imam, Imam is for you, he's more generous than you. He will not let you down, he will not turn his back away from you. This is a guaranteed statement I'm telling you. Serve your Imam. He will always be. In tansurullaha, Quran. If you support Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yansurkum, he will be there for you. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, and he will affirm your legs, affirm your steps. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's support. If you support your Imam, Imam is there for you. Don't you ever doubt in that. So this is one incident, Muqaddas al-Ardabili. Another incident of Muqaddas al-Ardabili, one of his students, Allama Na'imatullah al-Jazairi, his teacher was student of Muqaddas al-Ardabili. The student of Muqaddas al-Ardabili said, one day I heard a sound, because this house that you go to, this Qom and Najaf, you see their rooms are very close by. He says, I heard the sound from my teacher's room. As I opened the door, I saw my teacher, Muqaddas al-Ardabili, was walking. Where he was going? In the midnight, he was going to Haram of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. This is narrated by trusted narrators from Muqaddas al-Ardabili. He goes to Haram of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. At night, there were times they used to lock the doors. He comes and he follows, what's going on? My master, what is he doing? Maybe he needs help at midnight. I can be there for him, you know. So he goes behind to see where it goes. So maybe he needs some help. And he comes to the shrine of Imam Ali. The doors open. He goes inside and he talks. There was nobody inside the haram. He talks. He talks, and after that, he comes out. His servant was surprised. Where now? He goes to Masjid al-Kufa. He goes to Masjid al-Kufa. He follows him. He follows him. He says, again, he's talking to someone. And here, he made a sound. Muqaddas al-Ardabili looked behind. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing? He was a student, and they used to deal with the students like son. So, he told him, I apologize, maybe you needed help, something like that. But I have a question. What happened? I saw amazing thing. The door of Haram of Imam Ali alayhi salatu was open like that. And then you were talking and there was nobody inside. I couldn't see anybody. And then you went to Masjid al-Kufa. You were talking. He said, I want a commitment from you. I want a promise that don't speak whatever I'm going to tell you. If I die, it's up to you. But in my life, don't tell anybody. What's that? He said, I had some problems because at night they used to study our ulama. And until now. So he got this tough masail, tough complicated issues. He could not solve it in ijtihad, in deduction. So he went to Amir al-Mu'minin, Halal al-Mashakil, solvers of the problem. You know, Imam Ali is halal in mashakil, not for the Shias. Abu Bakr also said, Ya Ali, adrikni, oh Ali, help me. Umar also said, Ya Ali, help me. Uthman said, Ya Ali, help me. So if we are kuffar, then they are kuffar too. We have to do one standard. Why, if we say, Ya Ali, we are kuffar, and they are sahaba, nice. No. They started it. Even Khalifa Umar, second Khalifa, he said, if it was not for Ali, Umar would have been perished. Where are the Wahhabis from Umar? He did not say if it was not for Allah, لولا الله لهلك عمر. No. He said, لولا علي لهلك عمر. If it was not for Ali, Umar would have been, what if shirk? No. That's Khalifa. That's Umar. Sayyidina Umar. Don't you ever say that. You guys, you Shias, you are kuffar. Come on, give me a break. Standard is standard. Let's talk one standard. If they are kuffar, we are kuffar, they are kuffar. If they are not kuffar, we are not kuffar. So the bottom line is, Muqaddas al-Ardabili went to Halal al-Mashakil, solver of the problem. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam told him, now your authority, your proof is the 12th Imam. He said, where will I find my 12th Imam? He said, go to Masjid al-Kufa. He's offering his salah there. He goes to Masjid al-Kufa, and I came here, and I find my Imam, and I ask him the questions until you popped up from nowhere. So he said, I apologize because I was worried about you. Anyhow, this is Muqaddas al-Ardabili. When he died, his student narrates the story to all the beloved ones and companions beside him. So these are the personalities which I mentioned. These are not regular personalities. Muqaddas al-Ardabili, Allam al-Hilli, Bahr al-Ulum. These people are giants of Hawza. These are Ayatullah al-Uzma. These are pious. They were known to be very well pious. Muqaddas al-Ardabili, the one who never ever does mubah. How could he lie? These are our great scholars who saw the Imam. And there are many who saw the Imam and met with the Imam. And Imam is helping them and was helping them. But they don't talk about. Imagine if the whole world is against you. And you are still firm, standing firm, defending the Islam. And the whole world is around you, attacking you, wants to wipe out. 12th Imam is there. Believe me, he's there. He comes to, this is his duty to help the school of Ahlul Bayt, help the followers of Ahlul Bayt. So many scholars, they saw Imam in this major occultation. If you want to see the Imam, you can see the Imam. In one of the incidences, one of the pious ones, he saw Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam tells him, why don't you recite Ziyarat Ashura? Ziyarat Ashura, you don't need to recite it only on the day of Ashura. And it was in Persian. Shirana mi khunit ziyarati Ashura. Because he met a Persian pious person. Imam alayhi salatu talks in all the languages. He comes in different forms, you know. Like Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, shubbih alam. So forming in different forms is not a big deal on our infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet, the guy who was taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his form like form of Prophet Isa, the face of Prophet Isa. So Imam comes in different forms, different personality. He comes in the form of your Maraja sometimes, in Persian, Urdu, Sri Lanki, whatever, Siberian, whatever language. So he said, Shirana mi khuni ziyarat Ashura. Why don't you recite Ziyarat Ashura? Ziyarat Ashura, Ziyaratul Jami'ah, visiting infallibles, and Nafila. Salat al-Nafila, these things are important. These three guidances Imam gave to one of the companions, one of those pious ones who saw. Masjid Jamkaran, it is in Iran, in Qom. Masjid Jamkaran was built by the instruction of the 12th Imam. You go Masjid Jamkaran, you visit, you have a problem, any, you visit there, you do these worships, the 12th Imam, with the blessings of 12th Imam, your things are fulfilled. You will go there Tuesday night. It's a very, very rural area, town, small town. But you go there Tuesday night, thousands and thousands of people, like they are all scattered around the masjid. So if these people, their hajat, their needs were not fulfilled, they would not keep continuing coming. Because they get their needs, they tell others, we went to Masjid Jamkaran, this happened. They bring more hundreds with them, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. You go there, you will not find a spot to drop a needle there. It's crowded. Tuesday night, these are crowded. Why? If, like Abdul Qadir Gilani or some other shrines, they say, you go there, your hajat is fulfilled. You don't see. You see only pigeons and few people around there. Why? Because people, if they hear something, they want to experience it. If they don't find, if they don't experience, they will lose their hope from that place. Our shrines of infallibles, since 1,000 or more year, shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. People, they come, afwaj and afwaj, groups and groups, you know. Ya Ali, help us. Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Hussein, leave the infallible. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, he's not even an infallible. He's servant of Imam Hussein. He's brother of Imam. Go to the shrine of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. They title it Bab al-Hawa'id. They never give up. Why? Because they go there, they get what they want. These are the doors of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the doors of Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. That door. In وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Ahlul Bayt, they feed the beggar, they feed the orphan, they feed the prisoner. Those people are desperate. These are the doors of Fatima al-Zahra. Did Fatima al-Zahra rejected them? Even if you are not follower of Ahlul Bayt, Fatima al-Zahra did not say, show me your identity. Are you follower? Are you Muslim? Are you? No. Desperate guy comes, take the food. Nothing. They don't have anything. They give it. This is the door. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شَكُورًا. When you come to Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, he doesn't want anything from you. When you come to Masjid Jamkaran, the 12th Imam doesn't want anything from you. These doors, they give you without any compensation. They give you for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. They are the channels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. They are abwabullah. They are babullah. So if we want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come to this door, you ask infallibles, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these are the khulafa, these are the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. أَيْنَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي يَتَوَجَّهُ إِلَيْهِ الْأَوْلِيَ. Where is the face? Where is the ambassador? Where is the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where the beloved ones, where the followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, followers of Ahlul Bayt, they go to that. So inshallah, we are going to continue tomorrow and talk more about our responsibilities. These are a few examples. If you want to know more about those people who saw, there are hundreds and hundreds of stories. Tomorrow inshallah, we'll mention few things which may help you to be blessed with the meeting of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, either in your dream or either in reality. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the inspiration to follow our beloved Imam and support him in his occultation and after his occultation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all our marhumeen who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this month the month of peace and prosperity and dignity for all the Muslims around the world and for every peaceful human. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the appearance of our 12th Imam soon. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.